continue to pray for them, and I believe God will he will help in a terrible, tragic time. I want to just talk to you for a few minutes today. I'm just calling this little series in the summer, call it Summer in the City, and I want to encourage you, and my goal is to inspire you today to love and to follow after God with a passion that will lead you to a life that you have never dreamed of, a life that is not void of problems, but a life that when and if you do, I should just say when, you deal with a problem, that you'll find the God that is available to help usher you through and give you peace in the middle of those problems. Last Tuesday morning in our Tuesday 7 to 8 a.m., every Tuesday morning in the Outback, right on the other side of these doors here, there's a door on the back of the building that a group of men get together, and every man is welcome to that at any time. From 7 to 8 o'clock, we share some incredible oatmeal together, and then Phil Gardner, 99% of the time, brings an incredible lesson for all the men to glean from. This week, he spoke from Philippians chapter 3, and boy, that's just nestled in my heart, and all week, I couldn't get away from that word press. And the word press in the scripture isn't the word push. To press on something is totally different than just pushing. You can just walk by something or somebody and give them a little shove, but it's not the same as pushing on something. It takes a whole nother level of discipline and a whole nother level of passion and determination to press. Anybody can just push something, but when you press, it means a longer period. It means a focused, you got your mindset on doing something. In the gym, there's something called push press where you have a set of weights and you give it a little squat and you jerk, and that jerk will help you get that weight over your head and you can lift more than maybe you usually do. But then there's what's called a strict press, where there's nothing. It's just there, and you just right up. Well, that takes a whole nother level of concentration, discipline, because sometimes you think all the time you're used to this little jump. And this may look like, well, what's the big deal? I'm going to tell you, it's all the deal. And when you have, you know, maybe 140 pounds or something. My best a couple weeks ago was 155 over my head. I could do it. But if I had to just strict press it, I can't get it up because you gotta focus. And my mind says, well, I'll just give it a little jerk. But when you discipline yourself to press in life, you realize there's a whole nother level that you can go to that you never thought you could before. And here Paul is in Philippians chapter 3. He puts it in this scenario. He said, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected. He said, but I press on. I press on. He didn't say I push on. You know, you ever talk to somebody, how you doing? I'm just pushing through. You know, I'm just trying to push through some things. The right vernacular in that statement should be I'm pressing through, because when you press, it takes you to another dimension. He said, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. I reach forward to the things which are ahead. Here he goes again in verse 14. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Paul, he's writing from a prison cell to a church that is supporting him, in which he founded years prior. And he's giving them some advice. And every time I read this scripture, which I know I've read this 1,000 times, and I've probably spoke about it, preached out of it hundreds of times, but it's something that really speaks to me. And I don't know if this summer in the city season, these little messages that I'm bringing you, maybe it's just all for me. If it is, bear with me while I do it. But, you know, some people, I'm not born with the gift of letting go very easy. I don't let go of stuff. I've got barns. I've got things that my father-in-law, his father had, and his father had. We live on a fourth-generation farm. There's things that are there, and I look at them, and I look at them with a level of history. Some of my kids look at them and say, "Dad, what are you keeping that junk for? Let's get rid of it." And the reality of it is that 95% of the time, they're 100% accurate. I'm not born with that gift. I don't have the gift of moving on or letting go very easy. Some people, they're born with the gift of goodbye. Whether it's with people, a career, a place, they have the gift to be able to move on very easy. Move from a house to another house, doesn't bother. There's no sentiment to it. A relationship to one another. Some people, they have no connection to people. They can allow people to come into their lives, and for whatever reason, they can walk out of that life like nothing. Nothing seems to stick. And sometimes they quote this verse with a sense of confidence that they have mastered the art of letting go and moving on. Well, if I could just add a moment of balance in this for both ways, that are people that to people that are so prone to move on that sometimes they move for the wrong reason. And sometimes there's a habitual attitude that has been developed in them that they just know that whatever, wherever, whomever they allow into their lives, that it's only there, going to be there just for a moment. And it doesn't matter if God put that person in their life or not, they're just going to be gone. You know, I happen to know that God has put certain people in my life. They're going to be there till the day I die or to the day that they die. I'm convinced of that. And sometimes, even in the middle of all that, God is working something out in you and I through another person or a circumstance that he wants to develop in you. But it's not always fun to be around that person at all times. There's some challenges to that. Listen, when I think about the longevity, the long-term relationships that I have in my life, that they have taken work, lots of work. Even being married. This December, I will be married for 42 years. Amen. You should clap for my wife, not for me, because she's the one. I said that up at church on the beach, and I prayed for marriages, and this lady comes up to us afterwards. And she says, "Wait a minute, I got to ask you something." She said, "You said you were going to be married 42 years. You can't be that old." And I'm thinking to myself, this woman is a woman of God. Then she takes it to a whole nother level. She's looking at me. She says, "Look at you. Your face, your skin is so tight." I said, "Honey, come here. Will you tell that to her? Because nobody has ever told me that." It's just funny. But to stay connected that long to whomever, that just doesn't happen. But can I tell you? Yes. And I've lived long enough to know that every situation and every circumstance, you can't be a carbon copy of what everybody else has done or what they've accomplished. There's sometimes, you know, difficulty, challenges come, and God doesn't bring everybody. And I'm still learning this. I read these two quotes yesterday, and I love this. Sometimes the people you want a part of your life are only meant to be a chapter in your life. Isn't that profound? It's just amazing. Here's another one that I read. People come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I love that. And let me insert this for those who are here. You're married and you're facing a challenge in that relationship. Be careful who you get advice and counseling from about that relationship. Because just because Sister so-and-so left her husband and now she's just as happy and joyful, that doesn't mean that that is God's will for your life or for your relationship. Maybe God wants you to work on it a little harder than you've ever worked on it before. Amen for the baby, amen in me, because none of the parents are amen in me. I feel like I need to stop there just for a minute and tell somebody that if you're feeling this is enough, and you know, somebody told me a while back, I've always heard the phrase, well, the grass always looks greener on the other side. And then I heard somebody say the reason it looks greener on the other side is because the septic tank broke and it's leaking all over the place. Somebody needs to hear that today. But on the contrary, you may be in a situation where you're stuck and in abuse. My mom was in a situation where my dad was incredibly abusive, and she stuck with that, and she should have bolted long time before. I'm telling you all this. You need to get the right people. Paul was the right person at the right time for those Philippians to tell them some things that they needed to hear. You got to be careful who you lend your mind, who you lend your ear to and your heart to tell you what to do at certain challenging moments in your life. You cannot gravitate just to who you want to hear something from. You have to gravitate to the people that have longevity interest in your future. Amen. Clap if you want to. That's good. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's given some advice to the Philippians, and he's given it to you and I as well. He's saying just a couple thoughts here, and then I'll close. He said, number one, don't get discouraged because you have not arrived yet. Verse 12, not that I've already attained it or I'm already perfected. Verse 13, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended it yet. Paul is not speaking to you and I as though he has arrived. He's the most spiritual man that ever walked on the face of the earth. Yet he says, I'm not there yet. I haven't got there yet. And I want to encourage some of you today that maybe you're not where you want to be. You thought you'd be in a different place. You thought you'd have a different marriage, a job, a home, whatever it is, and you're not there yet. Don't get discouraged because you haven't seen what you have hoped for. You can't stop in the middle of it. Your present situation is not a reflection of God's future destination for you. Did you hear that? Your present situation is not a reflection of God's future destination for you. And if you've ever been on an airplane and you've flown any distance, you'll hear sometimes, most of the flights that I've ever been on, the pilot will come on and say, please sit down, fasten your seatbelts, we're coming up against some bumpy air. Well, what he means is he's going to fly in turbulence, and he really doesn't know how bad it is, but he wants you tied down so you ain't flying through the air. And I always loved these moments. You know, when I was getting my pilot's license, and the first few times we'd hit these little wind pockets or where you can fly over trees in the woods, then you fly over open ground, and the thermals on there, it just jacks the plane all. And when you fly in a little plane, you could go up 100 feet or drop 100 feet. When you do that in a little plane, you feel, you know, like your stomach is up in your jaw. But on a bigger plane, it's different. But it's still, it shakes you around. It rattles you around. And he says, sit down, fasten your seatbelts. There's turbulence ahead. And just because while you were on the plane and it starts shaking and rattling and doing whatever it is going to do does not mean that that's the way the whole trip is going to be, nor does it mean that that's how your destination is going to end up. One time I was flying on a plane, I was trying to think earlier where it was, but I was either coming from New York City or going there, and this lady gets on a plane. I was sitting up a little closer to the front, and she gets in, she sits down next to me. I'm usually I'm reading or something, and she said, hello, and I said, hi, how you doing? She said, can I ask you something? I said, sure. She said, can I hold on to your arm because I'm so afraid of flying? I'm thinking to myself, this lady is weird. That's what I thought. I said, sure. She takes her arm and just kind of pulls it around in mine, and she's holding on. We haven't even left the ground. She's holding onto my arm. She's got her face, her hand over her eyes, and she's in fear. I'm thinking, this is going to be a long flight right now. And we get taking off, and she's over there, and she says, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, can I move? That's what. And all the time, it's fine, and I got to talk to her. I got to pray with her. God worked it all out. But just because you're going through some shaking does not mean that that's what your future is going to look like. Are you listening to me right now? Don't get discouraged because you're in a moment of fear and all you can see and all you can feel, it seems to be unstable to you. That's not your destination. You just haven't arrived where you're going. You're still moving. You haven't landed. Don't be discouraged because you have not arrived yet. Number two, you got to, in the process of all this in your life, you've got to remember you have to let go of some things in your past. He said, one thing I do, one thing, I forget those things which are behind. I reach forward to that which is ahead. Forgetting for you and I means to let something go. Sometimes we play the reruns of our pain, our sadness, our hurts, our failures, what somebody did, what somebody didn't do. We play those reruns back and forth in our mind over and over and over again. And it continually keeps us trapped in that moment of pain and hurt that happened at that moment in our lives. And God says to you and I today, you got to forget that. You got to let that go. You got to believe God for a greater experience, for more victories. You got to experience something grander with Him in the middle of it, because most of those things He had nothing to do with. They were self-inflicted. When you bring Jesus into your life, He will help you to create some memories, some victories, some accomplishments that'll overcompensate for the pain that you got in your past. Come on, give God a better hand clap than that, because He wants to help you and I today. You got to believe God for that, and you got to let go of that. Three, you got to learn in the moment, and I talked about it earlier, to press on, not just to push on. I'm just getting through. He said in verse 12, I press on. In verse 14, I press towards. It means to pursue, chase after, and run with a fervor in your heart. And I believe when he says, I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid a hold of me. I believe he's telling you and I that there needs to be a level of pursuit for God like he pursued you. You did not find God. He found you. I need to say that again because that just jacked up somebody's theology. Oh, wait a minute. I'm the one that got up and came to church. No, you didn't. God moved on your heart. The Bible says in John 15, 16, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you. You had nothing to do with it. You're here today by divine appointment. Man, I'll tell you what, when that becomes a reality in your heart, you understand more of the love that He has than you have ever had before. Some of you God chose when you were in a moment of depression and brokenness and darkness in your life.
You thought just because of your pain that you thought maybe you'd reach out, but you forgot there was somebody that was praying for you somewhere. Somebody that was calling things over your life that were not as though they were. I've had people in my life that I prayed for in the dumbest moments of their lives. And they couldn't even realize what God was doing. Only that through His grace, His power, and His Holy Spirit reached down into the darkness, into the recesses of their life, grabbed the hold of their heart, and pulled them to Himself to give them a future and give them a hope. And when you and I pursue God with that kind of fervor, He will do something in your life and in my life that we have never known before. That's called pressing on. And God will never leave you by yourself. He'll never leave you alone. David said in Psalm 39, verse 8, he said, even if I'm in hell, God, if I make my bed there, you are there. You're pulling on me. And I want to lay hold of that which laid hold of me. And he says in verse 13, he says, I'm reaching forward. One translation says, I'm straining forward. My brothers and my sisters, when you discipline your life to push and strain for what God has for you, you will see the blessing, you will see the peace, you will see the fulfillment of what God's plan come into your life like you have never seen it before. And for some of you, that means a change of routine. That means a change of schedule. That means a change of scenery, of habits that you're used to. It's not the same thing anymore of coming home and stopping off at the same place day after day, night after night. It's something brand new. It's a change in your heart. And you can in that moment shrink back. You have to push into something different, into something new for your life. Some of you, you're in a time of your life. And you're wondering, why is God, why am I going through this? Why am I feeling this? That is the straining forward. That is the pushing forward to be everything God has called you and I to be. And then last, the goal. You got to keep it in front of you. You got to have a goal that you're going to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then in all of that, when the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything. If you got goals ahead of God, you can only accomplish them in your own strength. But if you put Him first and then put everything else behind that, you will see the supernatural take place in your life like you have never seen or experienced it before. Have I got anybody that can amen me on that moment right there? You got to keep it in front of you. He said in verse 13, reach forward to things which are ahead. Stop going back. Stop replaying the old videos, the old stuff, the old junk. Stop it. I was asked to do a radio interview on our local WBTA station this week. I thought it was pretty good. Actually, they played it at 8:30 this morning. She said, well, you won't be able to hear it. I said, yep, you're right. I won't be able to hear it. And they were these people. I'd never met this lady before, but I thought, you know what, I'll go over. I'm very selective of those things. And I began to tell them a little bit about my upbringing, and they're sitting there shaking their head. I said, well, don't feel bad for me, because God used that to bring me here. God wants to use what's going on in your life to take you there. The rattling and the shaking and the turbulence that you're going through in your life, it's not defining your future. It's getting you where you're going to go. And I've learned long enough in life that sometimes to get where you're going to go through some shaking. You're going to experience some turbulence. Do I have any people that have had any turbulence ever in their life in this house with me right now? You're going to experience something like that, but you got to keep the goal. He says, I reach forward the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize, the upward call in Christ. Listen, two things happen, and I'm closing on this, when you press for it. Number one, He's got a reward for you when you pursue Him. Hebrews 11:6, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got a reward. When you pursue him, your rewards are greater than you would ever get pursuing what you want. Can I just tell somebody today? Get rid of that selfish, self-centered nature that you want everything that you want when you want it. Amen, Pastor. Thank you for letting me know that today. You're welcome. Pursue him. And when you do, God will bless your life. And secondly, when you step into that lane of pursuing him and pressing, get ready to live a life that you have never lived before to the highest. You'll see things that you have never seen before. You'll meet people that you have never met before. You'll talk to people. God will take you. The Bible says that a man's gifts will make room for him, and they will take him before great men. You will go before greatness when you step into the lane to trust God and to press for everything that he has for you. Doors will open. Favor will come onto your life. Blessings will pour out in your home and in your family when you put him first in your life. Come on. Can I hear a praise the Lord in God's house today? Close your eyes with me. Bow your head with me today. I believe God with you today for something extraordinary in your heart, in your life. When I was praying about this, I felt people with discouragement, depression, some with anger, some that people just, they're mad at the world, they're mad at their circumstances, mad at people that have hurt them, maybe mad at a boss, mad at a spouse. Praise God. Prayer people, make your way to the front if you would. Close in just a moment. Open up your heart to him right now. Open up your life completely over to him right now. Thank you, Lord God. Life. I pray life. I pray peace. I pray for that individual who is struggling with this other person in their life, whatever it is. God, that maybe you have put them there for such a time as this. I pray for grace. I pray for help. Somebody that is going through turbulence, can't see their way out or around. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe you're dealing with something financially. He's a rewarder. Do you hear me this morning? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward. He will help you out of that when you seek him, when you press, not just push, press. Thank you, Lord God. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that today. I'm not talking about being religious or joining church. I'm talking about a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just where you're at, if you've never done that, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Forgive me of every sin that I've ever committed and that I ever will. Lead me, guide me. Be my strength, be my source, be my hope. I press to you today, God. I want you. Lord, I thank you for every person in this house right now. Every person that listens to this later, I pray grace and life and hope, restoration in the name of Jesus upon their lives. I give you praise for it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. You need prayer. Come on down. Let these folks, let them pray with you, pray for you. He's for you. God is for you. He's got something good working on your behalf. I love you. Go in his grace. Hey, make sure you love on one another as you leave today, okay? God bless you.